So nice. Good morning again. Good afternoon. Good evening. I do want to apologize. There's some kind of construction that you may be able to hear. And sorry about that. Today, I wanted to play around in the divine abode, the Brahma Vihara of loving kindness. This was such a life-changing, essential part of certainly my early practice. It really helped. Was absolutely transformational. And it is still such a touchstone practice for me. And it just feels like this past week, it's just been coming up a lot. And wanted to have us kind of explore a little as we move into this new season. Autumn is upon us. Days are getting cooler. They're getting darker. And so much, again, is happening in the world, as we've mentioned before. And just wanting to explore, play with how can we incline the mind and the body and the heart towards moving in the world from this foundational place of loving kindness. And to start, I'd like to play Ayayashi's loving kindness, her chanting the Metta Sutta. I find it to be so beautiful. And I'm going to play that. And then I think, Carlita, we worked it out that we can put up the words and feel free to sing along. I will mute myself lest my voice come through. But I'm going to play that in just as a way just of grounding up. These are the teachings of the Buddha and this beautiful Metta Sutta. And there have been, did I kind of go in and out of this being something I recite daily? It's just such a beautiful way of greeting the world. So I'm going to play that.
Sabe sata suki hontu. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great and the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, let none deceive another nor despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sata suki hontu, sabe sata suki hontu, sabe sata suki hontu.
Some of you may remember, she came to our class a couple of times back when we were on the land, and beautiful and mighty Tibetan nun. And I just love her voice. And so lovely to bring her in to this group today. And the power of this Metta Sutta. And when years ago, the nuns of Avalokiteshvara gave a day long on loving kindness. And they talk about how it is to greet the day with the sutta and this dedication of well wishings. How the different deva realms love it, according to the nuns. And wanting to ground us in the sutta, this is very much the foundational part of what the Buddha taught, of how do we orient the mind to letting go of fixed views. I love that line, watching in this time where it can be so polarized with ideas of right and wrong, and but we don't hold on to fixed views, and really being able to extend well wishes to all beings, born and unborn, in all the different directions. And the practice, primarily, I believe, through this lineage, has brought, as Sharon Salzberg has brought to us with working with the metta phrases, which I'll get to later, is so lovely and portable as a practice. And again, what I'm hoping to play with is how do we step into this undercurrent, the stream of loving kindness that can orient, or we can incline the mind in that way, particularly when there's can be so much harshness out there, brace ourselves against, and we can get caught up in it, right? One side, the other side, whether this is in interrelational dynamics or what we're seeing more globally, how can we purify what needs to be purified within our own being such that we can land and move from this place that's oriented towards loving kindness? And I remember sitting in a retreat, I don't know, a long time ago, and diligently doing the metta practice, and all I was doing was sitting in rage. And went to one of the teachers, and they're like, yeah, just keep going. I'm like, this is really unpleasant. And sometimes it is, because it's a purifying practice. It's really, it is a powerful, really transformative orientation of the mind and heart to move towards loving kindness. Some of us did not grow in homes where that was what was taught. Our schools don't really incline us this way. So how do we lean into being able to, in our own, with a sense of congruence with these well wishings for ourselves, for the benefactor, for everyone around us, and kind of pulled in different directions. But what I really am hoping to play with today, through different expressions of how can we soften ourselves, soften our hearts, soften the armoring that many of us have, softening the mind to be able to feel the power and the protection that can come with an open heart. Because so often we believe, well, I need to be defended to stay safe, or I had to close myself off to some parts of myself because it was too overwhelming. Yes. And through this, again, these purifying practices of orienting towards loving kindness, we can start to soften. I'm going to quote from one of my favorite books, Christina Feldman's Boundless Heart. She writes about metta. And metta is the Pali word for loving kindness. Metta is not primarily concerned with how we feel, but with the attitudinal commitment and intention we bring to all moments of our experience. To forsake the patterns of abandonment that aversion provokes, to learn we can stand next to all events and people and befriend them. Metta is a commitment of the heart. It swims against the tide of one of the prevailing ideologies of our times that tells us that how we feel about something is the ultimate authority that guides how we speak, act, and relate. The myth of authenticity asserts that if we feel good about something, it's worth pursuing, staying close to, investing in, befriending. The myth that reifies feeling as the authentic guide in our moment-to-moment relationship equally asserts that if we don't feel good about something, dislike or are threatened by something or someone, then it is only human and reasonable that we push it away, abandon or ignore it, and do our best to distance ourselves from it. Looking at our lives, we see how many of our choices, strategies, actions are guided by this myth. At times it is referred to as being true to ourselves. If we investigate this pattern without judgment, we may instead discover that we are being true to emotional habits that do not serve us. Right? So lovely. And this discernment that is required to understand, well, where's the reliable narrator in this inner chorus that we all have? And can we have the strength of our own heart and be courageous enough to not hold on to fixed views, to question, is this true? Tara Brach's beautiful line, real but not true. Something might feel real. This is how it is. Might not be true. And it's really just holding open a window or a door to a possibility of another way of thinking, another way of considering. In Desmond Tutu and Dalai Lama's book on joy, perspective is one of the eight pillars of joy, and this ability to consider other perspectives by way of, and inherent in that is this generosity of, I might not actually be right. And again, the quote came from Christina Feldman's Boundless Heart. And how can we give enough space to our emotions, the emotional habits through practice, we start to identify like, oh, here's this thing that I do. When this kind of stimulus comes, I respond this way. Is that healthy? Is that a benefit to me? And these beautiful questions that the Buddha allows us to explore, is what I'm thinking, doing, how I'm acting, is this up to my benefit, to the benefit of others? And to not deny or shut down the emotional habits, but just noticing, oh, is this serving me? And allowing there to be enough space, enough availability to explore its roots, to be able to determine, this may have served me at another time in my life. Is it continuing to serve me, given what the aspirations of how I want to live might be at this time in my life? I could really just sit here and read this whole book, do us and call it good. Immeasurable kindness, again, this is a notion of loving kindness, is not so much concerned with how we feel, but how we relate to feelings, people, events, and experiences. Kindness is only meaningful if it is embodied, the ground of our speech, acts, and choices. It is an expression of a profound concern for the end of suffering and peace as possible for all beings. It's returning again and again to the commitment and intentions to abide in kindness and befriend all moments of experience. And again, as we've been saying through all many weeks of this class, like, how can we open up to, oh, there are all these different parts of ourselves, all these different ways that people are in the world. Okay, given those truths, what ground do I want to be standing upon? The notion of loving kindness, which does not turn us into doormats or turn us into like, okay, go ahead, I'll just be ever accommodating and floaty and spineless. It's not that. It's more like there's the fierce compassion. I think there can also be a fierce loving kindness. We get to, our spine stays straight, you know, Brene Brown's soft heart, strong back. We hold that, our discernment stays fierce, our clarity, we stand in our clarity, and there's an accompaniment of softness of our own heart towards our own experience, I think most importantly. And again, as I mentioned before, that was what was so transformational for me, of being able to soften those critical voices and also not believe them, to be able to see like, oh, that's just this voice. But what aligns with the deeper aspirations of how I want to show up are these teachings on loving kindness. From Jack's book, The Art of Forgiveness, Loving Kindness and Peace, there's some beautiful quotes, which are not there. Sorry. From the Buddha, the greatest protection of all is loving kindness. And those of you may be familiar with the mythology of these teachings, and I'll just share briefly, because it was offered as a protection practice. There was a time when the monks were going to go, I believe, into the rainy season retreat, and there was a new area in the forest, and the Buddha's like, go there, it'll be great. And the monks are like, okay, and they diligently go into the woods there, and they sit and they practice, and it's, as the story goes, all the tree spirits and the animal spirits are like, who are these monks? And they're so loud, and we don't like them at all. So they made it smell really bad and scared, like, haunted the nuns, and they go running back to the Buddha and they say, we don't want it there. It's haunted. It's too scary. We don't want to practice there. And the Buddha's like, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the best practice there is. And it was this instructions on the Metta Sutta, and these ways of these offering of well wishes and phrases sends the monastics back out. And the monastics offer the tree spirits and animal spirits and the devas and whoever else and whatever other realms are there, these phrases, which we'll do in a moment. And everybody softened. And it was a beautiful place for them to practice. So being able to rest in, this is a protection practice. It isn't, okay, I'm going to expose my heart for whatever comes. It's being able to stand in our own goodness, in the our own strength of our own heart. Loving kindness offers care and well-wishing to another without expectation or demand. Right? That's pretty incredible to be able to generate that kind of practice of this is freely offered. Yeah. There's no distance between their well-being and our own. True love is trustworthy. Our love for others is an expression of our trust in love itself. No matter what happens, we can still love. And in this day of looming disasters all over the place, allowing this to be a refuge, allowing our the loving kindness as just one of the divine abodes. The others, of course, are compassion, karuna, mudita, sympathetic joy, and upekkha, the equanimity. That these are the perfect. These are the divine abodes of the heart. Yeah. Okay, so tempting just to read these. Even in terrible times, we must learn to love. We all carry within us our own places of exile, our crimes, our ravages. Our task is not to unleash them into the world. It is to transform them in ourselves and others. I got a little greedy-minded earlier today about all the things I wanted to share, but if you're game, I'd love to take some time and just do a shortish guided metta practice in the hopes that it may be of benefit. So if you're game, I invite you to close your eyes. And if you feel so moved, to have one hand on the heart or both hands at the heart center. And I'm going to give somewhat the classic instructions in the metta practice. And we'll start by inviting each of us to call to mind someone who is dear to us, that it's not a complicated relationship. Can be with a dog, a beloved pet. It can be with a teacher, someone you've never even met. But someone who, when you imagine sitting across for them, that your heart gladdens, that they're such a delight. Be a friend you haven't seen forever. A grandmother, again, a dog, a beautiful place. If it's a child, maybe it's a sleeping child. So just allowing, again, calling to mind this person. So picking someone, sometimes a lot of people come to mind to volunteer, but just imagine this person sitting beside you or across from you, taking in this person's presence, how you feel as you take them in, and to offer them the phrases, may you be happy, may you be healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. And many of you may have your own metta phrases. Feel free to use them, allowing yourself to fall into a rhythm of repeating these phrases, holding this person in your mind's eye. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. May you live with ease. And this is a practice that invites creativity. Often I'll imagine I'm handing someone a rose with each blessing, with each well-wishing. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May your goodness protect you. As we offer someone perhaps a bouquet of flowers, or Anything else that comes to mind as a representation or image of these well wishings for happiness, safety? May you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe from inner and outer harm, may your goodness protect you, may you live with ease. And then when it feels right, just to kind of wind down, offering the well wishes to this person. And you may wish to bow and say goodbye to this person, or perhaps invite them to sit beside you or behind you. Have this sense of this dear one having your back or companioning you, whatever feels most appropriate. And then just as you wish this other being well, so too can you offer these phrases to yourself. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May my goodness protect me. May I live with ease. Just checking in, how is it? Does it feel different to offer these well wishes to yourself than it did to what's classically known as the benefactor? This can be an edge for folks, and want to invite each of us to open up to accepting these well wishes. May I be happy. Just as I wish this other being well, may I too be happy and healthy. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May my goodness protect me. May I live with ease. And there may be a numbness in the heart, a disconnection. That's fine. You know, it's really, again, accepting, oh, this is how it is in this moment. This practice is also a concentration practice. It helps to unify the mind. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May my goodness protect me. I'm going to change a little from the classic teachings and just ask that with your eyes closed, just to call to mind some of the faces we have the delight in seeing every week here in this women's group. Some of whom we may have come to know, some we may be seeing for the first time today. And imagine offering these well wishes to our Sangha sisters. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May your goodness protect you. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you live with ease. And to imagine this beautiful circle of 41 of us extending these well wishes to different Sangha members. The passing of roses or peonies or Gerber daisies, whatever flowers may come to mind. May you be happy and healthy. May you be peaceful. May your goodness protect you. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you live with ease. Seeing how it is to allow these well wishes to resonate. From being to being, Dharma sister to Dharma sister, those we know, those we don't know yet. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you live with ease. Allowing yourself to be included in the circle of well wishes, that there is a giving and receiving here, yeah? May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. Just as we are saying these phrases to each other, we are also being showered with these blessings. There's the fourth category of what's known as the difficult person. And this is not an invitation to call to mind the most difficult person with a capital D, but rather, there's sort of two steps here. Can we allow ourselves to stay together in the circle of well wishings of this Dharma sisterhood here as each of us call to mind someone that we're having a difficulty with? It might just be a little bit of a charge. It might be situational. It may be more chronic. And with the support of our Dharma sisters here, and perhaps with the support, continued support of the benefactor, can we offer this difficult person, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you live with ease. Again, noticing how it shifts that may have happened in the body as you call to mind this difficult person. And in your mind's eye, the person may be close to you or they may be a mile away, kind of whatever feels best. But how is it to both feel into the support of our sisterhood here while engaging with someone that we have difficulty with? May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. And then in whatever way feels right, bowing goodbye to that person, letting that energy drop or move through, allowing the attention to come back to our circle here, our Dharma circle. Again, feeling into the generative quality of these well wishes for the benefactor, for our sisters here, some of whom, again, we know, some of whom we don't know. The difficult person. And that all of this generative goodwill spills out beyond our circle and into the four directions, to the six directions, north and south, east and west, above and below, that these well wishes for health, peacefulness, ease, may be touched by all beings everywhere, those that walk on two legs and four legs, that swim and fly and slither. May all beings everywhere be happy. And may all beings everywhere live with ease. May all beings everywhere be safe from inner and outer harm. May all beings everywhere be free from suffering. And just taking a moment to feel or to imagine into this generative quality of these well wishes, these myriad of bouquets of flowers, touching all beings. Those in Iran and Puerto Rico and in the prisons and in the hospitals. Folks feeling lonely, those folks feeling celebrating again, going through all the individuals in the world of the 10,000 joys, the 10,000 sorrows, may all beings everywhere be happy and peaceful. May all beings everywhere be free from suffering.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.